Hello and welcome to Quote Unquote Guilty on Word Salad Radio. I'm your host, Joe Ketchum, and I'm joined today once again by Andrew Crowepel. How's it going, Andrew Crowepel?
Kumate, Kumate, Kumate,
it's Kumate,
Kumate.
It took 8 years, but we remembered the name of the day.
Yeah.
2 years in a row. 1 year
the Jean-Claude Van Damme good time.
Yep, it's a Van Damme good time.
Yeah, I'm doing great. Things are changing in life in a positive direction. Yeah, I'm really happy.
Things may be changing positively for me soon as well.
Cool.
I might get to move home or adjacent to home, depending on what job, if any job, I am offered in the immediate future.
I hope you get it.
I assume I'll get one or the other. Mm-hmm. I hope I'll get the job in Chicago, which I've been waiting for months to hear about.
Yeah.
But I feel really good about a job in Lansing.
Ooh.
That I'm very confident is like they're going to offer it to me. Yeah. I have a final interview coming up and just the culture is cool. I feel very welcomed. I feel like I jive with them. So I think I'd be happier at the Lansing job than the Chicago job. But I live in Chicago when I'm not in Arizona. So that's better as far as being with my wife and family.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, that tiny little...
So I think I'll be good either way, but for different reasons. And, you know, I'm just ready for a change and something that's feels a bit more permanent.
Yeah. So I guess for me, what ended up happening is about a week and a half ago, someone found me on Indeed and sent me a link saying like, hey, you look like the right person for this job. And it's for a music school in the area. Let's see here. I interviewed over the phone last Wednesday. I had an in-person interview this past Monday. And I was offered the job yesterday, which was Thursday. So it was like less than a week. Or like just a little over a week. I'm hoping this one's a little bit more permanent too. It's like running a whole shop.
Oh, it is? It's so. Still running a...
Oh.
Like, when you say you're working at a music school, like, what are you doing?
Oh, so I would be in charge of managing the store. So, making sure that my teachers are happy and getting everything that they need. Making sure that we're following the correct curriculum and all of that sort of stuff. Yeah, so it's a cool job. It's essentially what I'm doing right now, minus the sales part, plus about 25% pay. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's significant. Yeah.
Anyway, enough about us. Let's talk about someone who has a way cooler job than us. And that would be Felicia Rashad.
Yes. Creed's mom. Felicia Rashad.
I think, isn't she in the Cosby? No.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, good. Whew, okay. Dodgeable.
I didn't want to go right to Cosby.
Yeah.
I would rather celebrate Creed.
Yeah, I guess
and
that's
other
true.
Other things she has done.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, she's, we're talking about Jean-Claude Van Johnson.
Oh, yeah. You should have read the title.
Yeah, you should know by the title of the episode. Unless I called it some bullshit like I am wont to do.
Yeah.
And Andrew, how would you describe the premise of Jean-Claude Van Johnson?
I really liked the premise, number one. But basically it is Jean-Claude Van Damme is playing a version of himself who is a washed up actor. And he also happens to lead a second life as a washed up actor and during his time as an actor as a international spy, and shenanigans ensue. It's him trying to get back into it.
Yeah,
because he doesn't feel alive.
It's like Confessions of a Dangerous Mind if mm-hmm. Chuck Barris were 70 and wanted to get back in with the CIA and do more assassining and spy
yeah.
stuff. it's kind of along those lines. It's that absurd. And the thing with Barris was he wrote this autobiography about being an asset for the CIA, and it was clearly fictional, but it all folded into his real life in an interesting way. And this is just absurd and really super fun.
Yeah, like, I almost wish there was a season two, because I think that could be fun.
Yeah, clearly they wanted to make a season two. It ends on a cliffhanger. But Jeff Bezos weren't having it. Did not want to make any more Jean-Claude Van Johnson, which I guess is fair. Like, I didn't watch it when it came out. It looked fun. It looked interesting. I just never got around to it. But
I think it just came out at the wrong time.
Yeah, I'm not sure even exactly when it came out.
2016.
Okay. So, yeah, we were all super depressed in 2016 and for several years afterwards. And
yeah, it's literally right at 2016, 2017. So
right at the end of 2016 when none of us wanted to do anything because the world was collapsing. Yeah.
Yeah. And 2017 with the, yep. That's great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So yeah, didn't have much interest. But this year I watched a ton of Jean-Claude Van Damme stuff. Doing the research for you, Andrew. I was like, what could we do an episode about? What could be an appropriate Kumade after I think a pretty abysmal, was it last year we did Cyborg or something? That was really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. We biffed it on that one. We needed an honest to God guilty pleasure that we actually took pleasure in. So I did the work.
To be it?
What's that?
And this happened to be it?
This happened to be it. There's other ones I came across that I also thought were good guilty pleasures that I liked. And I don't know if you got around to any of them, but I was like, I think this is the one. I think this is super fun and we can have a good time with it.
Because it isn't just one movie. It's six.
Yeah, it's six. It's six movies.
Episodes.
Yeah, six episodes.
Whatever. Yeah.
But there's a nice ambitious cinematic quality to it. Like, they very do some really fun stunt driving, choreographed fights. I like when we are in the movie inside the show, or like we're seeing scenes from Huck, the action-y JCVD version of Huckleberry Finn that they're making in the TV show.
Oh, man. Like, the whole idea of they had, what's his name? N-word Jim?
Yep. N-word Jim.
It's funny that they used N-word instead of the actual word.
Yeah, or because, just cut it all together.
Yeah. But
like, the whole thing is like, we can't actually call him the N-word. It's like, just call him Jim. Just like his name is Jim. You don't have to call him N-word Jim.
It's great.
And the best part about the N-word Jim arc is that the actor playing N-word Jim has a brief tryst relationship or comforts Van Damme's love interest. What's her character's name?
Vanessa.
Because he stands her up. They're supposed to get drinks, and then he's there to comfort her, and they end up in her hotel room. It's not sure if, you know, anything happens, but then Van Damme gets Jim, the actor playing Jim, fired.
Yeah.
And they replace Jim with a Chinese actor, like a martial arts star, and they call that character C-word Jim.
Yeah. What I really like about this is there's like that good balance of absurdity and like real action and even little homages and references. Like it's a perfect balance of that.
I really appreciate the homages and references and just the idea basically that a lot of Jean-Claude Van Damme movies are rooted in fact, and a lot of these things actually happen or actually happened and inform the movies. Like the film career that we know has been influenced by this spy career that we never saw. Yeah. That's really fun. It's a really fun mechanic in the show.
One of the episodes that, like, really stuck out to me was episode 2, which is the street race episode, where Jean-Claude Van Damme cannot drive stick, apparently. But then he challenges someone with a crappy car. Well, he has the crappy car. The other guy has a souped-up car.
Yeah.
To, like, a drifting race. And then he like blindfolds himself, and the bad guy blindfolds himself, and they go. And of course, Jean-Claude Van Damme is doing everything perfect. It somehow works because of movie magic.
Yeah.
But the other guy like just drives straight into a wall and blows up. And it's great.
Because you really didn't need him suddenly magically being able to drive blindfolded and drift around all these things and just like daredevil his way around.
Uh-huh.
You could have had them both instantly crash, but the bad guy happens to crash worse and blows up, and Van Damme wins by default. But the blindfold of him blindfolded going around the track is just so fun.
Yeah.
So absurd. Yeah. I loved it.
And also there's like this emu farm that keeps on getting brought up throughout the whole thing. And of course, in kind of a serious note, you find out that, oh no, he was just using the quote unquote emu farm to escape from like his troubled childhood. So he didn't really have a grandfather who owned a farm.
He essentially has like a Homelander backstory. Mm-hmm. Of like this idyllic life on an emu farm. Like Homelander, I can't remember his act, like the backstory he tells people about playing baseball with his dad, and like all this stuff is just made up. It's just this fabrication. So he's more likable in The Boys. But actually, he was just raised on this compound and given superpowers and trained to be a ruthless murderer. But part of that is like this folksy Clark Kentian story about living on a farm. it's a lot like that before The Boys did, or at least before The Boys did it on TV. I have no idea about the comics timeline or what's in the comics. I just had a really fun idea that makes me even more sad that we're not going to get a season two ever.
Yeah, what?
Because it feels like this would have occurred to them at some point because of all the parallels and tie-ins to Jean-Claude Van Damme properties.
Uh-huh.
I am betting that in the Jean-Claude Van Johnson universe, there are two Jean-Claude Van Dammes. I bet he's got a twin brother.
Oh, yeah.
And the twin brother would show up and be a part of adventures, just like in Replicant and Double Trouble. And like that happens in Jean-Claude Van Damme movies.
Well, there's also the funny aspect. It would be the third person who would look like Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah.
Because there's also Philippe.
Philippe kills me.
Oh god. So during the pilot, when Jean-Claude Van Damme is trying to sneak around the factory, and he like someone eventually sees him, and he's like, they're like, oh hi Philippe, and like he's just walking normally. And then eventually he ends up running into Philippe. And like that's kind of like the birth of their rivalry. It's so weird. We don't do weird enough. And Jean-Claude Van Damme does weird very well.
He does weird very well. I wish he did more comedy, because this demonstrates that Jean-Claude Van Damme stoic ness plays really well as like the straight man of a comedy. Like that first scene with Philippe, where he convinces Philippe that he is Philippe from the future. Like in Time Cop.
And he tries to touch him.
And he's like, pats him on the shoulder to reassure him. He's like, you're not me from the future. same matter cannot occupy same space. Time Cop. It's like, yes, but in Looper, Bruce Willis and Joseph Gordon-Levitt touch all the time. It's like, I hate Looper, and you would hate Looper too. So good.
Yeah. It all comes back to that at some point as well, where it does turn out that Time Cop is real.
Yeah. I love the Time Cop sequence where a future version of Jean-Claude Van Damme comes back to save Vanessa's life because she died in an alternate reality. Comes back in time, saves Vanessa's life, like has to stand on this bomb plate, blows up. And then Philippe takes his time travel bracelet, goes back in time, and they're like, so this guy's Philippe now, right? And that just all works. It all comes together. Like, yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. Because Jean-Claude Van Damme was like, is this how I die? And yeah.
The reality he has of like what happens there. We can break down what actually happened.
Yeah. So
flux capacitor style.
I think this is what I think happened.
Okay. I will tell you if you're right or wrong, because there is a right and wrong answer.
So we're going to go with timeline number one. JCVD and Vanessa end up in a fight to try and save Luis. And Vanessa ends up getting killed. And that makes Jean-Claude Van Damme distraught or maybe get killed or something like that.
No, he's just distraught. Rewind. He does not die.
Okay.
Rewind. Because he has to go back in time.
No, I don't think he goes back in time.
No, that Van Damme from that timeline goes back in time.
Really?
Yeah, because Vanessa dies, and he has to go and figure out that time travel is real, or maybe already knew that, and he has to go back in time to save her. That's JCVDA.
Okay. Because I thought Philippe was the guy who ended up dying.
That's not Philippe. That's JCVD from Timeline A coming back in time to save Vanessa.
Okay.
And we know that because Philippe cannot do Van Damme's accent or walk normally. That is just Van Damme.
So I thought it was like he got trained, got buff, all of that stuff.
And he trained his voice too?
Yep.
No.
In order to save his hero. Why
would Philippe want to save Vanessa? Why would he care?
Because Jean-Claude Van Damme gets really distraught.
But he
and it's
hates
the right
Van
thing
Damme.
To do.
He hates Van Damme.
The other thing, Philippe was going to show up there anyway. He would have gotten the Time Cop bracelet.
Philippe only gets the Time Cop bracelet because Jean-Claude Van Damme, A, comes back in time with the Time Cop bracelet. In the original timeline, Philippe would have shown up and, you know, Van Damme might have killed him or like whatever it might be, mm-hmm. whatever happened in Timeline A after he's so distraught after Vanessa dies, doesn't really matter. Philippe is incidental. Mm-hmm. Van Damme goes back in time, has a time bracelet, saves Vanessa, steps on the explosive to save Luis. Someone throws him a gun. It's too much weight. He blows up. But that is
Which
Van
is
Damme.
Hilarious.
Like in Time Cop, it creates an alternate reality because he goes back and saves Vanessa. That creates an alternate future where that Van Damme does not need to go back in time and change anything. It just goes forward. But Philippe goes back in time, creates a third timeline that we don't see. He probably goes back, stops Van Damme from just, you know, killing all his friends and is a big hero. And then he continues on with his life, with his closure. But that's a whole other timeline we don't see.
Are we sure it's open stream timeline and not loop timeline?
In Time Cop it is.
But they aren't using Time Cop rules. They're using looper rules.
No, they're using Time Cop rules.
How can that be? They never touched.
Yeah, they don't occupy. Same matter does not occupy same space.
Time. No, they rules. Do touch. They do touch because
I don't know. I watched this Jean-Claude... so long ago because you haven't had internet for a month that I don't remember if they ever touch.
Because Jean-Claude Van Damme B, I guess, gets knocked out.
By A?
Yeah.
Well, okay, so it's not exactly Time Cop rules. It's like that's a movie thing where the two can't touch or they explode. In this, it's just like a Terminator situation where they go back and they change things and set off a new timeline. Or Back to the Future is probably better.
Okay. I think this is a really fun exercise in figuring out exactly how everything works.
I think it's pretty straightforward. And Van Damme says that's Philippe now at the end, because I think he's assuming it's a loop. Like, he's still in looper mode. It's like everything has to loop together to make sense. He's like, so I don't die? That's Philippe now? Okay, I guess we're good. But no, it's just an alternate timeline that's been created through time travel.
Okay. Anyway.
But it's so funny. It's so weird that it happens in the show.
Like, because, so there are only two supernatural things that happen. One is that, and the other is a weather machine. Like,
we have to talk about the reveal of the weather machine for a second.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Because I fucking laughed so hard.
Oh, yeah.
At the end of episode two, where he goes to Vanessa's room and she's built this weather machine, and she says there's only one reason why anyone would build a weather machine. And Van Damme goes, to take over the world.
Yeah, because JCVD was going to actually leave because he was like, oh, it's just a small time dude. It doesn't really matter. If he were only, if he were in the big leagues, he'd be like making a weather control machine.
Yeah, exactly. That's,
like, they do a lot of Chekhov's guns throughout this. It's great.
And after that line drop,
uh-huh,
you know, there's only one reason to build a time machine to take over the world. The show drops the greatest song I think I've ever heard. Do you remember the song at the end of episode two?
No, what was it?
It goes, it just starts going, suck my dick, suck my motherfucking dick.
Yeah, I remember that.
Over and over again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because that was played during the car stuff. But
oh, was it?
Yeah.
I just like hit so hard as the punchline to the episode and the end credits. I didn't realize it was from the car race as well. I loved it.
It's perfect. Like, that, like, it's just so witty. It's well written. It's well produced. It doesn't take itself too seriously. I would highly recommend it.
You start to like really root for these characters too.
Yeah.
I was like, Van Damme has some humbling moments and he backtracks and he grows. He's kind of like God damn it. What's the name of Peacemaker? He's kind of like a Peacemaker character.
Uh-huh.
Where you start the Peacemaker TV series thinking, how can this guy carry a TV show? How can you fucking root for him at all? Yeah. And then he really wins you over in those six episodes or whatever it is for Peacemaker, eight episodes. Like, yeah. That's a great character arc, a great series. And Van Damme's arc is a lot like that, and it kind of plays into one of his movies where like he has to redeem himself and grow and mm-hmm. It's almost like he's in a more of a Rocky type situation. But yeah, it's those tropes. It's really fun. But then loved Luis.
Oh, Luis was one of the best parts of the show.
Yeah, because I think Luis was my favorite character. Just everything he does was gold.
Anytime he has a flashback, usually they show like multiple people having flashbacks, like think back to a past time and Jean-Claude Van Damme thinks about the emu farm and Luis, like they have like these Dutch angle cuts of like horrible, grotesque mutilations of people. And it's just like,
it's complicated. I'll tell you about it later.
Yeah.
And then, you perfect. Know, the band breaks up and Luis goes to work as like a hairstylist and they have to go recruit him when they figure out that, you know, the agency they've been working for orchestrated this whole thing to begin with. And Richard Schiff shows up. West Wing's Richard Schiff is like
that
above.
That shocked me.
I know. And I think anytime Richard Schiff shows up in something, I'm surprised by it. I was like, he has a singular role as Toby Ziegler in the West Wing. And anytime he's in anything else, I'm like, he is so out of place here. What is he doing?
Yeah, and he's also in it for a very short amount of time.
Yeah, it's like a few minutes in one episode and a few minutes at the end. He's a small part, and I'd like to... Does he die?
Yes.
I don't think he does die. Okay.
He gets shot. Well, he gets shot.
He gets shot, so, you know, movie rules. He'd be fine. Mm-hmm. It's a flesh wound. So it'd be cool to see, like, that agency become a bigger threat as the series continues and Van Damme and Vanessa and Luis are more of like a freelance crew trying to figure this out and balance Van Damme's career with everything.
And imagine like if it went on a little bit longer, he could get like so many guest stars and cameos, like other actors who he's trying to recruit or who have been recruited. That could be so much fun, but it isn't.
Alas, it will never happen. We'll never get to see the Time War, or whatever they call it at the very end. The Time War is coming.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. And that girl, that was Felicia, right?
Vanessa?
No, Felicia Rashad. Jane.
At the end?
Yeah, I think that is her as a child.
Oh, my God. No, I did not think of that.
Yeah.
Was there a little black girl with them, too? I don't. Yeah, okay. Maybe it's problematic that you assume every black woman in this show is the same person.
Because she was wearing kind of the same pantsuit.
Okay.
And stuff. Like, I promise, it isn't my innate racism.
I think that would be a fun idea if they like went and got her Jane as a child to help them for some reason in the time war. Like, that would be fun. Like they also need to be her ghost of Christmas future and stop her from being a bad guy when she grows up. Like, I could buy that.
Or they end up placing her back when she's fully grown into the position that she was in, and she eventually becomes corrupt or something like that, proving that Looper. It's a loop.
It is a Looper situation. But then what happened to Philippe? We'll never know.
Philippe became... Ah. He trained.
I told you, there's a right answer and a wrong answer.
This has some really fun fight scenes.
Oh, yes.
In the pilot, earlier in the episode, the director, Gunner, talks to JCVD, telling him how fights actually work, where it isn't always just one at a time. Like, people pile on you. Yeah. And then when he gets to the factory, the head factory guy, eventually when they catch him, says, "Oh, no, one at a time."
I feel like he had a reason for, like, saying attack him one at a time. Is like, I felt like there was some reason to justify that.
I don't think so.
It was just, no, guys, one at a time.
Yeah. And then, oh my god, the fight scene on the set.
Yes, that's the one that immediately came to mind for me. That's it's easily the best one.
Yeah.
Where Van Damme is attacked by assassins on the set of Huck and has to fight them, and everyone thinks he's in character, like, doing the scene, and they start filming, and it's badass.
And extras start coming in, so he has to protect the extras from the actual hitmen.
It's so fucking good, because the extras come in to attack him. Like, oh, in this scene, I'm supposed to attack Huck. So he has to play fight the extras, but also protect them from getting actually unalived by the real assassins. It's so fucking cool.
Yeah.
That whole sequence is amazing.
And then I love the AD at the end being like, "I think they're dead.
I think that guy's dead." That guy's definitely dead.
Yeah, just that sort of stuff it's great. Like, I wish I had seen this a lot earlier. I think that there needs to be a push to get more of this.
I know. It's been on my watch list forever. Like, you have the Amazon watch list. It's full of garbage that's been on there for years. And this was one of them. This always looked fun to me. And I just never got around to it. Even with us doing a Jean-Claude Van Damme episode every year for 8 years, I still never, like, went and watched it, thinking it might be a good episode. God. I'm fucking stupid sometimes, Andrew. Suck my dick. Suck my motherfucking dick.
Oh man. Yeah, I wasn't sure where they were going to go, because from at the end of episode 4, that's like when everything kind of just goes wrong, if I recall.
Yeah, like, that's like the drug, like, I feel like they take down the drug empire, right? They sort of win and go their separate ways, and then figure out, or Vanessa figures out, that this was just like, you know, a dummy mission to keep them busy while the real nefarious stuff was going on.
Yeah, because I know the bad guy ends up dying in episode 3, I think.
Is it that early?
Yeah, with the, whatchamacallit, the toe to the head. It's the same time as the time loop situation, I think, right? Or no.
Does he die in there?
I can't remember.
I don't know. It's been too long since I've seen it. Yeah, now.
It's
all your fault.
It's all mesh. Oh, you know, it's my who cares? It's my roommate's fault. God damn it.
So some of the salient details have already faded, but I remember the important stuff. I remember the suck my dick song.
Yeah.
And the Huck fight.
N-word Jim. When N-word Jim is hanging below the log and he has the paintbrush in his hand. Like,
his paintbrush is like basically Mjolnir.
Yeah.
Oh, like, we should also mention that Tom Sawyer in Huck is a gorgeous blonde woman and Huck's love interest. And another secret agent assassin lady who comes back as one of Jane's, Jane's loyal henchmen, and Vanessa has to take her down.
In fact, at the beginning, they were like, yeah, I pulled some strings. You're going to be taking over for Chris. Of course, because we're all kind of sexist. I honestly thought that it was going to be N-word Jim was Chris, but using like a different name. But it ends up being the Tom Sawyer, whose name is Christina. It's just like, oh, of course it would be her. And she would move from...
A lot of fun twists like that. Just like you'd expect in a movie like this to have those kind of ridiculous twists.
Again, there are things that are just absurd. Him doing the splits in order to prevent the helicopter from flying away. So that way he can hold it shut.
It would have been really funny if that did not work. Like, if he's like, no, I got this. And he does the splits and the thing just like literally rips one of his legs off. He's like, nope, I don't got this. I like the whole training montage in the Blockbuster video.
Which is pretty grotesque for Amazon to be like, oh, hey, let's pull out the corpse of Blockbuster.
Hey, at least it wasn't Netflix.
They did it too.
Which Blockbuster had their opportunity to buy Netflix. If you watch that documentary, they fucked they fucked themselves. Blockbuster deserves to be extinct.
Oh yeah.
They had the opportunity to buy Netflix, like in Netflix's infancy, and they're like, nah, we're good. This doesn't seem like a reasonable business model. So you get what you deserve, Blockbuster.
They were like, who'd want to order by mail? You want to go in.
You want to go to a physical location and browse around and pick your movie and have your movie that night. You don't want to order it in the mail and get it tomorrow like some sort of fucking peasant. Blockbuster actually had a fun like subscription service for a little while before they went out of business, you know, trying to maximize or capitalize on what Netflix was doing. And with theirs, you could go to the store and get a movie. And if you brought it back, you could exchange it for another movie. Because like, so if you had the subscription, you just kind of had unlimited rentals. You just had to keep bringing back the one to get a new one.
Oh, I can't see how that could go wrong.
Yeah, I mean, people would have to drive to the store, which I did. Well, it wasn't far from my dad's to the Blockbuster. So I would go, I would go swap out movies kind of regularly.
But like the whole, like a person pays a little subscription. Because that's the thing. Blockbuster was kind of right. Because like Netflix was not a very sustainable model until they went online.
Yeah, until the streaming started. Streaming. Then they took off. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They kind of got lucky.
Super and lucky.
Blockbuster got unlucky. But Blockbuster should have bought them up, even if it was just to get rid of them.
Because I don't think Blockbuster ever tried a streaming thing before they went out of business. I think
I
think Netflix started doing that, and the, and Blockbuster's like, well, we don't have the infrastructure for this. We'll just,
Yeah. Come into our store. You can get overpriced popcorn.
Overpriced popcorn? Overpriced movie rentals? What do you want? We got it overpriced.
So I noticed, I'm just kind of looking at Wikipedia. It looks like episode 3 might have been directed or written by a woman, which is great.
Everyone knows it's illegal for women to write.
I know, right? No, it's Ashley Wakefield. But then again, Ashley is one of those names where if it's like an Irish person, it could be like either way.
I guess I've never seen a male Ashley. Is that an Irish thing? Where
like it's like a very Leslie? Celtic. Yeah.
Is it a Celtic ambiguous name? I've never heard. I've never seen a male Ashley. Just to say there isn't one. Maybe that's what Ash is short for.
Do you have anything else to talk about?
Let me think. I appreciated that Van Damme and Vanessa did not get together.
Yeah.
It's like their dynamic before the show is that, you know, they're on and off. They have this physical attraction, this chemistry. They're bad for each other. And the show is about them achieving something deeper than a sexual relationship. They become like legitimate partners. And I thought that was much more interesting to watch unfold than the seeming inevitability that they were going to hook up.
Yeah, considering he's like 20 years her senior.
Oh, like, at least he's got to be. Yeah. He's like twice her age. So, which is another trope I guess they could be playing with, but you know, I don't think it's presented very well or well enough for them to actually hook up. It's better that he's like her mentor and they become partners and equals. And like that's more interesting.
Luis and her, though, that's the ship.
I could see that happening. Although I could see Luis fucking anybody in the show.
Yeah.
He's a sexual dynamo, that guy. I liked at the beginning when we get some insight into Van Damme's home life and his all his plumbing is coconut water.
Yeah. The ladies, the girls like, woman, I will eventually get there.
She's a woman, though, by comparison to Van Damme. She's a girl.
Exactly. She's like, why is your water so sticky?
It's coconut water.
God.
All the plumbing is coconut water.
Because they do a callback to that when he's stowed away somewhere. He ends up using canned coconut water to wash himself.
Yep, he's like living in an abandoned building and dumping coconut water on himself. Yep.
Oh, God.
I also love when he's cleaning up the Jean-Claude Van Damme statue.
Oh, yeah.
And the two tourists come and ask him for a picture. And he's like, yep, get in here. Let's take a picture. Like, no, not with you. Can we just get a picture with us? Like, oh, sure. Yeah. And he takes their, no, can we get the like agricultural building, please? The Department of Agriculture building behind us. I don't know what this is.
I don't know who that is.
Like, they're so excited to be at the Department of Agriculture building in like Belgium or whatever, wherever we are. Brussels.
Yeah.
that was funny to me.
I love how they made all of his prosthetics awful. Like, they are just the worst.
Yeah. Like, they're the worst, but also it's always super clear that it's Jean-Claude Van Damme. It's like one of the most recognizable famous people in the world. And him in a terrible wig, him in a terrible, you know, beard, him in a weird outfit. It's still clearly him. And everyone's like, who are you, stranger?
It's the Perry the Platypus thing.
It's a Perry the Platypus paradigm. Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what did you think of him as Philippe?
I thought it was a really fun performance.
Yeah.
I thought it was really fun. He's having a blast. I particularly liked Jean-Claude Van Damme playing Philippe. You know, like he's pretending to be Philippe to infiltrate the bad guy lair. And the bad guy's immediately like, okay, Van Damme, you can drop the accent.
Yeah.
I don't know what you mean. I am Philippe. It's like, okay, man, the dailies are looking good. You can't just come in here like this.
Good show.
A lot of fun.
I'll probably actually add this into my rotation of shows that I watch.
Man, I can't even, I don't have the time to rewatch shows. There's so much new stuff to watch.
Yeah.
So much stuff I never got around to. I finally watched The Wire.
Oh, you did?
It's okay.
Okay. It's probably overhyped.
It was definitely overhyped. It was like, the fourth season was phenomenal. The fourth season, I think, is what people talk about when they talk about how great The Wire is. Everything else was mediocre to me. It's like, I just like, I probably would have given up on it if not for the hype.
Yeah, it was, season four is the school season, right?
Yep. Yeah. Yep. And it's amazing. Mm-hmm. And it's so much better than the other four seasons of The Wire.
Yeah. Season two is hard to watch.
I think it was season three. I was like, I don't care about any of this. I would just stop watching if it weren't The Wire. I would not keep watching this show.
Yeah.
But yeah, season one and four were definitely the best.
My sister used to teach in that area.
Nice.
So now she's in Northern Virginia.
I think you're going to say now she's in rehab.
Yeah, pretty much.
She's a Baltimore public school survivor.
Like, she only lasted 3 years there, and then she had to get out.
I can imagine. Just based on what I see in The Wire, seems pretty rough.
Should we talk some guilty pleasures?
We should talk some guilty pleasures, Andrew. So give me any character you want to tell you their guilty pleasure, and I will tell you the guilty pleasure for that character.
And we are both going to do JCVD, I think.
Yeah, we also, as a bonus, do Jean-Claude Van Johnson, Jean-Claude Van Damme's character. What's it? No, he has a real name too. There's Van Johnson is a fake name.
It's like Van. What is it?
It's Van Suk Me Dik.
Whatever. Okay, I'm going to give you Gunner.
Yeah, we haven't talked much about Gunner. Yeah. There's not a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
I will give you, who's someone else that like we haven't really talked about? You can do C-Word Jim's guilty pleasure.
Do you mean C-Word Jim or do you mean the actor who's playing C-Word Jim?
The actor who's playing C-Word Jim.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Cool.
It's a little too meta for me to do a character inside the TV, inside the movie, inside the TV show. Who do I have again? Oh, Gunner.
Yeah.
Gunner's a bit of a pissant. It's hard to imagine him experiencing the human emotion of guilt. I think Gunner, because he has this facade of like a hipster everyman who's just like, I want to, you know, make art. And I just, you know, I want to be true to myself. And as soon as the opportunity comes along to make a shitty Van Damme action movie, he's like, fuck yeah. As soon as the opportunity comes along to make a Jurassic dinosaurs in space movie, he's like, fuck, he's such a sellout. So I don't know where I was going with that as far as a guilty pleasure.
Well, which way does it go? Does he really like art movies or does he really like trash?
He pretends to like art movies. He pretends to want to make art movies, but he's just a sellout. So I guess that's his guilty pleasure, is making these shitty, flaccid blockbuster movies in the first place and then bitching about how, you know, they're compromising his vision. But as long as they pay him, he doesn't really fucking care. He's not going to do anything about it.
His character was just a really interesting-ish one. It's actually kind of like the most out of place of them, except he does the eccentric director thing. No, he belongs. Okay, let's see here. C-Word Jim. His guilty pleasure, he's been waiting in the wings to come to America and become like an American action star, you know, become the next Bruce Lee. And like, his physique is very good. He has to keep in shape because he's like a martial artist. And I think that his guilty pleasure are Twinkies. Like, just complete junk food. Twinkies, Hostess cupcakes, Swiss cake roll things, that sort of stuff.
He goes like full Ben Stiller in Dodgeball, and then he cuts it all off and does his next movie. I like it.
Yep, that is him.
Now, and Jean-Claude Van Damme.
We go on to the, and this one, let's work together on it. This Jean-Claude Van Damme.
I think his guilty pleasure is building a loving relationship with a woman, making her fly to an exotic foreign country, and then leaving her there.
Oh, God. Yeah, that was ridiculous. Him being like, oh, no, I couldn't show you. I was too scared to let it be known that I never grew up on an emu farm.
Just go to Fiji, you loser. Yeah.
She was like, who wouldn't want to go to Fiji? There's a reason why he chose emus. I think they are misknown for being very aggressive creatures that could kill you. They could kill you if they wanted to, but they really don't. But they are aggressive. I think he goes to emu fights. You know, and instead of like a cockfight, an emu fight. Yeah, that's like him. That. Yeah. Another, because he's another super one. Rich.
Well, he's rich, so he can go emu fight, illegal emu fights in Bangladesh if he wants to.
Yeah.
Sri Lanka. Basically have a kumite for emu, an emute.
An emute.
Emute. Emute. Another one is, I think his guilty pleasure is stage makeup and craft. Because if Luis were doing his hair and makeup, he would look great. He would look like another person. I think he enjoys doing it himself. Yeah. And that's why it's so bad.
Yeah, that's why it's so eccentric and weird.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's not, like, she knows how to do it because she does it for, like, the films and stuff.
Yeah, if she did it, it would be good. If Luis did it, it would be good. But he does it himself because he loves it. But he has to do it to go to the emu fight so no one recognizes him.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
That just reminded me of when he goes to the drag or the street race place. And he's, you know, he is dressed the way he's dressed. And he just basically walks up and he's like, so do any of you all have whatever drug
it HK.
Is? Yeah, HK.
I'm looking to buy some heroin, cocaine, or what was the mix between, what was HK?
It was heroin and not codeine.
Oh, ketamine.
Ketamine, there we go.
Hey, any of you fellow drug users have any HK I can purchase or barter for? Like, yeah, I loved all that.
Does anyone here have cocaine cut with ketamine? Oh man, yeah, so sorry, that just made me think of that because he's very much cop, like in a bad outfit.
Yeah, so. Undercover. Andrew, anything you want to plug or recommend?
Not really. I have been, yeah, not really. I think I'm good.
Okay.
Yeah, how about you? What would you like to plug and recommend?
I've been trying to watch a bunch of A24 movies, just whatever is available, because I really generally like A24 stuff. And I feel like I've watched a couple of really good ones. One that comes immediately to mind is The Killing of a Sacred Deer by Yorgos Lanthimos, who did Poor Things recently. Oh, okay. So he did this movie, Killing of a Sacred Deer, that's about a surgeon played by Colin Farrell, who like befriends the son of a patient of his who died on his table.
Oh.
And so they have this kind of amicable relationship. And then I don't know how much I want to give away. It takes a really dark twist and it gets really weird and it's wonderful and spooky and everyone's playing it. Like the performances are all super strange and stilted. Like I really like it. The kid is played by Barry Keoghan from Saltburn, and very much playing that same kind of Saltburn-y character. Like it's definitely a prototype for that performance later. It's really, really good. I was surprised I hadn't seen it yet.
Yeah, that sounds good. I just thought of something else I want to plug.
It's too late now. You passed.
God
damn. Passed on plugs. Mm-hmm. I gave you every opportunity. No, go ahead.
Okay. Number one, Helldivers 2. Ton of fun. When you have the internet.
Number two, Helldivers 1.
Yeah. And number two is something that I haven't watched yet, but I know I'm going to have myself go through it. Quentin Reviews is famous for doing on YouTube. He's very famous for creating video essays based on like television shows and stuff like that. He famously made a video for iCarly that was 10 hours long. He just released a 39-hour video on YouTube covering the Beverly Hillbillies. So I am going to watch that if it's the last thing I do.
It may be the last thing you do.
Yeah, because 39 hours. That sounds
kind of terrible to
me. Yeah. No, you're supposed to break it up in chunks.
Yeah, I would imagine you would have to. Like, I've done 24-hour movie marathons. I am fucking dead by the end of them.
Yeah.
No way I would do another 15 hours about the Beverly Hillbillies.
It's so weird because, you're just sitting there watching. Your brain is working, trying to figure stuff out and enjoying the art, but you're just so exhausted staying awake for 24 hours for some odd reason. Anyway.
Well, you report back. You let me know if it's any good.
Yeah, I'll make sure to.
I would also like to plug the Patreon, patreon.com/wordsalad. And I'd like to plug it specifically because everything on the Patreon, past, present, future, is free. And you can just go and access whatever you want because this is going to be the last public episode of Word Salad Radio. The SoundCloud account is going to expire very soon, so I don't even know how that works as far as will this episode be up forever, or will the first episode be up forever and, you know, everything else disappear? I don't know. Something's going to happen. But everything will be on Patreon, anything we do in the future. But ending the podcast is something I've thought about for a while now, and it just became increasingly more difficult to make time to do it and to get, coordinate with other people to do it. And it's just, I think it's just time to stop or do it sporadically and not worry about collecting money and, you know, paying for the SoundCloud, and we'll just, you know, we'll just do it occasionally for our patrons deadlines. For free. So if you want to continue to listen to stuff as stuff happens, or if you want to go through any of the Patreon exclusives, you can do it over there. I think I still have to go through and make everything free and public. I've done a lot of it, but I definitely have not done it all. Yeah, that's what's happening with us and moving forward.
And this is the perfect time for us to do it because my brother-in-law just became one of the head programmers at Beansprout, which is a huge podcasting platform. Good timing, Joe.
Well, he could have done that 8 years ago, and then we would have had something.
Yeah,
but now I have a real grown-up job.
Yeah.
I can't fly away with you to Never Neverland, Peter.
But anyway, no, it's been fun. We started the way we ended. For me, it's in a basement, very cold, with just you and me talking about cheesy Jean-Claude Van Damme project. Yeah, thank you so much, Joe. Like, you did a lot of work.
Thank you, Andrew. I could mostly rely on you to do podcast stuff with me.
Yeah, and except for this last month.
Except for this last month when you were impossible.
It was literally like
real
like,
wrath of God shit going on in Andrew's personal life.
God.
Prevented us from doing this.
Like, acts of God were preventing me from doing this. So, anyway, cool.
So that's it. We'll wrap up. Mm-hmm. Thank you, everyone, for listening and for your continued support. Suck my dick, Andrew.
Good night, me.
Suck my motherfucking dick. Suck my motherfucking dick. Suck the fuck, duck, duck, fucking suck the fuck, duck, duck, fucking suck my motherfucking dick. Suck my motherfucking dick.